We begin this hour at the state capitol, where it is all over. Just before 1 o'clock this morning, the legislature adjourned its session shortly after approving a new state budget. That came after lawmakers met in a rare Friday session, and the Senate met in an even rarer Saturday session. With us to break down the end of the 2019 session is Ben Giles of the Arizona Capitol Times. Ben, I hope you are well caffeinated this morning.
Probably not enough in the world, Mark.
So the budget, there had been this impasse that had been there for literally weeks, if not more. And then over the weekend, it seems as though maybe on Sunday, I think that impasse was compromise was reached and lawmakers were able to come in yesterday to finish the budget. And this had to deal with a bill dealing with the statute of limitations for victims of childhood sexual assault victims.
Yes, lawmakers, particularly Senators Heather Carter and Senator Paul Boyer, came to an agreement on a window of opportunity for folks who otherwise would be time barred by that statute of limitations to sue their abusers. If you were a survivor of sexual assault as a child, right now, once you're past the age of 20, you have no opportunity to file a civil lawsuit against your abuser. What they did was they agreed to increase the statute of limitations by 10 years from 20 to 30. But more importantly was that window for people who are older than 30 and wouldn't have that opportunity. Paul Boyer really wanted to create that that chance for folks to come forward, even in a limited sense. There was a lot of pushback from Republican leadership on creating that window. They said it would create basically like an opportunity for ambulance chasing attorneys to just try and take advantage of victims and survivors and try and make a quick buck. So what they agreed to do was allow folks to sue until December 31st, 2020. That is, if you're older than 30. But they did stipulate that you cannot sue for punitive damages. So you're not making any money off that case. But what Boyer had argued and others had argued is that it's almost just as important, if not to get some compensation, but just to identify your abuser and you know, out that person to the public.
And we'll hear from Senator Boyer coming up in just a few minutes. Ben, on the budget itself, I know there was a lot of controversy, especially on the K-12 side of things. Safe to say that the budget, it was done on basically a party line vote. What did majority Republicans say as far as getting more money into classrooms, into the K-12 system more broadly?
Well, they said they kept their promise from a year ago when there was a massive teacher protest at the Capitol. The Red for Ed movement made its presence felt almost on a weekly basis. And then, of course, there was the walkout near the end of the session. And what that resulted in was the governor pushing a 20% pay raise. That comes in phases. There was a 9-10% last year. The next 5% is included in the budget. So that's one promise that Republicans are saying, we're keeping this. The next 5%, of course, would come next year. They also tried to accelerate some funding for district additional assistance dollars. That's the money schools get for things like textbooks, desks, computers, some of those classroom items that you might not think of, but add up to a lot of costs for local schools. So there is new money in the budget for K-12. The question is it enough? We heard from the superintendent of public education, Kathy Hoffman, this morning, who was, like many of her Democratic colleagues in the Senate and House, grousing that in a year when the state had a $1 billion budget surplus, there are so many needs for schools. For example, raises for some of the support staff who aren't necessarily teachers, but are arguably just as essential to a child's education. Where are the raises for those folks? Could you have accelerated those district additional assistance dollars faster? That's always the conversation at the Capitol is, can you do more? And Democrats are always pushing for more. Republicans are always pushing back, saying, when is enough enough?
Well, Ben, you mentioned the extra money. I know the legislators down there don't like the word surplus, but what was the final verdict on that? Because the governor, of course, wanted to put that money into the rainy day fund. There was some talk about maybe giving it back to taxpayers in tax conformity. Democrats wanted to spend it on education. There was some talk of maybe paying off some of the state's debt.
It's a little bit of all of the above. The governor did get his savings. He got a $542 million deposit in the state's rainy day fund, essentially its savings account. That brings the balance of that fund up to $1 billion and gives Ducey a win on his biggest talking point of the budget season. There is also a little bit of debt payment, about $200 million, that Republicans argue will save the state in interest in the long run. There's the more money for education we talked about. There's infrastructure funding. But one thing to note is a lot of this funding is one-time funding. That's what happens when you have a big cash surplus like the state had. That doesn't necessarily mean you can count on those dollars to keep coming in the years to come. So a lot of one-time spending, particularly on things like infrastructure projects, which is arguably a valuable way to spend that because it's a one-time cost. You don't want to saddle yourself with ongoing spending when you don't know if that money is going to be there in future years.
All right, that is Ben Giles of the Arizona Capital Times. Ben, thank you for breaking down the end of the session for us. Lots more, I'm sure, to come on that.
Thanks.
And as we mentioned, the budget passed after a compromise over a bill dealing with the statute of limitations for victims of childhood sexual abuse. State Senator Paul Boyer had been withholding his vote on the budget until his colleagues approved that measure, and Senator Boyer is with us now. Senator, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you with us. So, this compromise, are you satisfied with it, or is it the best that could be done? Where do you really stand on this? You've been so passionate about the issue.
Yeah, it's the best that can be done, and let me tell you why. I mean, Arizona, up until last night, the governor did sign the bill, and there is an emergency clause, so we now actually have a state statute that impacts victims of child sexual assault. But here's the deal. Arizona's law previously was so bad where individuals had until the age of 20 to come forward and disclose and say that they've been sexually assaulted. We bumped that up to 30. But we know that the average age that child sexual assault victims don't come forward until the age of 48.
Now, there were at least a couple of lawmakers from your own party who were not satisfied not only with this, I'll call it a tactic. I don't mean it to be in a pejorative sense, but your tactic as far as the budget went. But they were also upset with some of the characterization of even saying that maybe some lawmakers were protecting insurance companies over kids, over victims. How much tension did that cause?
Well, let me just tell you, there was a member that actually said that we have a constitutional right to protect business. So it wasn't out of the realm to say that they were saying that. It did create much tension, but at the end of the day, I mean, everyone voted for it unanimously.
Senator, is this something that you're going to continue working on? I mean, I know that you'd wanted to get the statute of limitations even farther. Do you plan to try to do that maybe next year?
Yes, absolutely, and here's why. Because the only way that we can expose current child predators is for adults who have been sexually assaulted as a child to come forward and to call them out. And also, just to get those victims justice for what happened to them and just the closure that they deserve.
Do you think that it will be possible to do that, given the friction you faced to try to get what you got this year?
Well, up until 3 weeks ago, no one thought this was possible.
Well, so Senator Boyer, where do you go from here in terms of, I'm coming back to the politics of this again, and I know that everyone's an adult to some extent, so you're supposed to sort of work together as this happens. Will there be anything lingering in this, or with a new session and the fact that this is an important issue, can this go forward at least to some extent with cooperation?
Well, I sure hope nothing lingers, but here's the deal. On any significant piece of legislation, and there's, of course, many of us who believe that this was the most important public policy item that they saw this year and maybe even in a decade or two. And so I think that it takes something like that, usually a few years, to educate members on, to explain why it's so important, and that usually happens over a few years. Now, I did introduce this last year, but it was at the end of session after the Larry Nassar trial in February. I introduced it in March, and I really didn't have enough time to educate members. So now that I think that members are starting to become educated on this, I mean, this is the probably most talked about issue. I really think there could be a possibility for more movement next year.
And do you think this will inspire, I hate to say it this way because this is not a new thing that lawmakers have done this, but do you think this will inspire the idea of when there is something truly important as this issue was that fellow lawmakers will decide, okay, I'm going to do what Senator Boyer did and I'm going to try to hold up the budget to make sure this vital thing gets passed?
So what I did is not unusual. I mean, members do that all the time. They just, I guess, do it more quietly, or maybe they just don't stick to their guns. But I've been in budget meetings for 7 years now on a state budget, and I promise you, not every single member, but most members say, I'm not voting for the budget until I get this.
What was it that led to this compromise? I mean, this had been a stalemate for a while. What finally broke it?
Well, it was really Senator Mesnard. He brokered the deal. I asked him about 3 weeks ago to broker a deal between myself and Senator Eddie Farnsworth. And Saturday, I think when leadership realized they didn't have the votes, that's when they finally brought us all to the table, and we hashed it out Saturday afternoon and finally came to an agreement in concept late Saturday night.
All right. That is State Senator Paul Boyer. Senator, thanks as always for joining us.
Thank you.